Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and each week we bring you exciting new guests to talk about various aspects of UFOs and the paranormal. We bring you the latest experts and actually people who are having these experiences themselves. And if you had a chance to listen to our show last week, it was quite a treat. Our guest was Sue Hutzel, and she was talking about her really very interesting and incredible encounters with an alien named Marie. This is the name she gave her. Actually, the name is much longer, but that's just the end of it and the only part that Sue could really pronounce. So that's what we're calling her. And actually, Sue was our guest last week. And she is our guest this week as well, because her story is actually much more extensive than we got into. Last week we talked about her encounters with Marie, her visitations with this cat-like ET, about 4 feet tall, covered from head to toe with fur. This ET visited Sue throughout her childhood on a nearly, at least weekly, almost daily basis for many years. And shared with her all sorts of really interesting things, including not only just general conversation, but bringing her all sorts of alien animals to view. Sue is a big lover of animals. She loves her animal friends. She grew up on a farm. And so this is apparently why Marie brought all these different alien animals. And that's what we talked about last week, but that's not where her story ends. I mean, she has actually had a lifetime of all sorts of unusual experiences, and this seems to be the pattern with a lot of people I interview who have had really extensive encounters with ETs. They not only have UFO encounters, but they see ghosts. That's very, very common. Have out-of-body experiences, all kinds of psychic experiences. That seems to be very common for some reason. Ghosts, I would say, is the most common. And our guest tonight, Sue Hutzel, has definitely had some other unusual experiences besides just UFO experiences, including, of course, ghosts. And also, I want to talk a little bit tonight about her experience of an apparent encounter with a werewolf. Yes, I know how that sounds. But in fact, there are a lot of people who have claimed to see these creatures, which are apparent werewolves. I had a guest, in fact, on the show last year, I believe, who talked nothing about except werewolves. And she has written a couple of books on werewolves. Linda Godfrey is her name. And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. So I hope that you're... If you have any questions, or if you'd like to call in, this is a call-in show. So please feel free to call in at any time, and here's the toll-free number. It's 888-228-4494. But let's just get right back to our guest and let her finish her story, which is just so interesting. Sue, thanks so much for coming on to the show again.
You're welcome, and thanks for having me again.
Yeah, you know, your story is just so fascinating, and I just felt like I needed to have you on again because we didn't get the whole story. I mean,
it's hard to fill it all, a lifetime of things into 1 hour.
Right. And I think there is some weird connection between, you know, ghosts and UFOs. I don't know what it is, but like I said in the introduction, it just keeps on turning up, so I wanted to talk some about that. But let's finish up first, I think, with Marie. And Marie is, could you describe her again for people who are just tuning in for the first time tonight? And what does she look like? And
well, she kind of, I'm not sure of the height. Because I was, like I said, I was kind of like the run of the litter, I guess, because of my bad heart and everything. I was kind of small. And she's about my height, so I guess about, I don't know exactly how high.
Well, probably 3 to 4 feet.
I think
how tall
so,
are you now?
I thought I was so, I was tiny myself.
Yeah.
I said, I think I said once when I was 8 years old, I looked like I was 5 years old. Height. But anyways, but she's well proportioned, kind of like a human, and the shape and everything, kind of a human-like, well proportioned and everything. She didn't have the big heads like the Greys or anything like that. And she was covered with fur. I say fur because she doesn't have that shaggy hair like everybody. And the Patterson tape and everything shows the Bigfoot. She doesn't have the shaggy hair like that. It looks more like those Ewoks on the Star Wars thing. Like real groomed and everything. Looks so, you know, really soft and everything. And say that her eyes look human-like, brown, except they're a bit bigger than a human's. And her ears are kind of like a human's, but they had the fur on, but kind of came up to a little peak, like little points on it. And I don't know if her ears were actually a little bit pointed, if that was just hair, but I think it was just hair. And the hair on the top of her head was kind of up to a point-like. And then she'd get angry. She's seldom angry, but when she was, that hair on the top, it just seemed like it stood up more. Like maybe it's kind of bristling like a dog or a cat could bristle when they're angry.
Right.
And see, her teeth were like a human's because she would smile and laugh so much and you could see her teeth. And see, her nose and everything. Couldn't really tell much about her nose and stuff because of all that fur. And her hands and her feet were kind of like humans, but they had hair except on the soles of her feet and the palms of her hands didn't have any. And see, yeah, I did see her ship a couple times. But the first time I didn't really know it. I've seen those triangle type ships. But this one time I seen one was kind of a silvery looking. And she pointed at it and she said, "That's mine." So I had been on before. I know I was aboard it before too. Well, I didn't even see nobody when I was a boy, but I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
And do you remember, like, the very first time you saw her?
Yeah. See, as usual, I told you in the past, she just seemed to be there. She'd walk around the tree or around the house or something, and there she was. And then when she'd be leaving, she did the same way. She'd go behind something. Then I'd walk over, then she'd be gone. So, but I never seen how she did, but well, the first time she came, we had a big fringe tree in the front yard, and I was playing around on it, and kind of limbs were real low and stuff, and it's easy to climb to sit on and stuff. And then I heard a little voice, and when I looked around, there she was. And I just started talking to her and said, "Hi, my name is Sue. Don't you want to play?" And like that. And she said yes. So she climbed up on the limb I was on, and we started talking and stuff. And I was telling her all about the animals and the farm and everything. And yeah.
And what did she say her name was?
Let's see. I can't remember exactly how it was. I mean, it was real long. And the end sounded like Marie. So I said, "Marie?" And she said, "That's okay. I think it's okay to call her that." But it sounds kind of like a Marie without the A. Kind of a Marie, kind of instead of Marie. Mm-hmm. But sometimes, though, I'd just call her Marie by mistake, but it didn't seem to bother her none.
And then didn't she come on a weekly basis or a daily basis, you said? Mm-hmm. Or often?
It seemed like I remember. It seemed like every day I was out there playing with her. No, I don't know if she was a child back then or not, because, as I said, even now she's the same as she was back then, so she might have been grown back then. But she played with the trucks with me and my plastic horses, my stuffed animals or anything that I happened to be playing with. And once in a while I was doing a little hide-and-seek stuff, and I think she kind of knew about my heart, because she never tried to make me run or anything like that. So, kind of did hide and seek and stuff in slow motion.
And she showed you animals as well?
Oh, yeah, then she started bringing the animals. Shortly after that, she kept bringing these animals. And, you know, a lot of them were really You know, you could tell they're really alien, like the one that was in the clouds and everything, couldn't land because, you know, she couldn't breathe in our atmosphere. So.
Did that one have wings, or was it just floating?
Hmm?
You know what I mean? Did it have wings to fly?
No. Just really looked like, just had kangaroo-like tail, and her hand, I mean, her legs were kind of like, sort of animal, I guess, because he had kind of like toes with the claws on him. And let's see.
Right.
And of course, her head was kind of like a hadrosaur in a way, a dinosaur. And she had these long ears. And when I saw the Star Wars movie with Jar Jar, and I said, hey, that looks like one of her relatives or something, because the face and the ears look so much like her.
Wow.
And, she was covered with hair. Now, Marie was covered kind of with the golden brown hair. But this one, she was just like a plain dark brown. And her hair was real short. You know, kind of like a, you know, horse or a cow or something, just kind of real short hair. Yeah. And, she had a pouch. And she had at least one baby in it, I've seen. When she got down far enough, I kind of see there was at least one baby in it. And,
Now, were these all animals, or were some of them intelligent, do you think? I mean, they spoke a couple of times to you, right?
Oh, yeah, this one, yeah. When she swooped down that time, she couldn't stay down because she, you know, she couldn't breathe in our atmosphere. But she came down to say something about, nice to meet you. And then she went back up real quick.
All right, so she must have been intelligent.
Yeah. Now, some of them, I really don't think they were. Like the one that looked like a big, I said, kind of an ankylosaur, kind of a dinosaur, kind of. And she was about, he or she, or whatever, was about 20 feet long. And he had a big club tail like the dinosaurs. But she was covered with kind of a brown hair. But her head looked like a cat, kind of like a cat or something, kind of cat. Now, she never said anything. And just kind of, you know, ambled around real slow and stuff and looked at me and looked at Marie and just went around. And I sat on her a couple times, you know, just to ride her a little bit. Now, that one I don't think was sentient.
Huh.
And, but the dragon that, like I said, I didn't really know his name, but the color had like a red colored head and the rest of them green. So I said, oh, wood duck. And he said, yeah, you can call me that. So I know he was. And then she brought like a lot of animals that looked like regular dogs, cats, and horses and stuff. And they were more like just regular animals. And that the carnivorous horse, the lorse, I could tell, I don't think he was either. But as Marie said, she kind of kept me back. I said, no, he'll bite. And I could hear him kind of growling and stuff, and he kind of look over at me and growl. And I said I was never afraid of anything. So, animals and all that, so.
Right.
I was afraid of dentists and doctors, stuff like that, but when it comes to animals or ETs or anything like that, I wasn't scared. And so I would walk on over, and she'd get a hold of me real quick and pull me back, and no bite. And so it was that one.
You were always alone out there, too. I mean, there was...
Yeah. She said that nobody else could see him or something like that. And my friend Ann, she said, oh, well, a lot of times there, you know, they can make it so some of the ETs and stuff can make it so they really can't be seen by anybody.
Right.
But,
right. That's not that unusual. I just wanted to clarify that so people don't think, you know, that, I mean...
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know really know why either until Ann told me that sometimes they do. They have these things they can do so they can't. And,
So you remember also being on board these craft?
Yeah.
And what do you remember about that?
See, I was on a... No, I wasn't on a table or anything like a lot of people that are abducted and everything. I was just in this room walking around, and then it's like this big window or view screen or something. And when I look out of it, you can see the tops of the trees and stuff going by. And that fascinated me, too, like that.
Right.
Then, like I said, I never saw her or anything. It just, like, I was there a little while, then I was back home. I'm back in bed and everything.
Right. Do you remember how old you were from that memory?
Yeah, around maybe around four, I guess.
Pretty young, yeah, wow.
Yeah.
And let me see, what else did I want to ask you? Oh, yeah, the Greys. Now, you saw the Greys a couple of times before you had your memory,
oh,
right?
Oh, the ghost now, yeah. Yeah, that ghost. And when my grandma Seward died, my mom and I used to go there and visit the graves and everything. And my mom would trim the weeds out around the stone and everything. And I'd go around, after, grandma's a little bit, and I'd walk around to the ones of people that were in the world wars and different wars and stuff. Military people and stuff.
Right.
And then, shortly after that, this ghost, I used to call him my soldier, because he was, like the uniform, like the, what do you call it, like pigs or whatever. And, anyway, I see him once in a while, and I wasn't afraid of that either. I just said hi. And he'd nod, and then usually he'd just sit down. He really wouldn't say anything. He'd just sit down there, and I'd talk a little bit. And I'd say, are you from the cemetery? He'd nod. And
did you see him at the cemetery?
No. But I thought, well, maybe that made no sense. Maybe I was the only one ever visiting or something, because some of them go way back to, like, World War One, even farther back, so.
Wow.
And so maybe they just don't get any visitors anymore, and he's curious, and he came over here. But once in a while, I'd be using them. Well, back then, I just had a computer. Then I was in my teens by then. Anyways, and once in a while, when I'd be doing it, then he'd come over and say, hey, what you doing? And then I'd tell him, I'd be doing a letter or whatever. And, one thing he would do, I think he put it in my head, was I get these, like, a vision-like things of living in Hawaii, driving a red convertible, and then the next thing, be drafted into the Korean War. The next thing, I was in the front during the battles and was shot. And they would be the medics and everything would get me in a helicopter and take me to, I guess, wherever. Later on, I learned they call it a MASH unit.
Right.
But they take me, and they're working over me, and that would be it.
Was this a dream, or was this like when you were awake you'd have these?
I think he kind of put it in my head some way or something, because I'd be awake, but I just get these kind of vision-like things.
Right.
And I think, and Anne agreed too, he kind of put it in my head, what happened to him? He might have lived there, and he had that car and everything, and he was drafted. And he went into the war, and he was on the front, and he either had got shot or something, and they took him to the MASH unit real quick, but he died while they were working over him.
Now, when was the first time you saw him? I mean, was it right after you visited the cemetery? Or?
Yeah, it was soon after. See, my grandma died in 1973, so we started visiting around there, and soon after that is when he started coming over.
Wow. And when you saw him, did he look translucent? I mean, could you see through him, or was he totally solid?
He wasn't completely solid. You could see through him a little bit, but there was, like, the top part of him was red, like there was blood on his shirt and everything. Like where he got shot must have been like in the chest area or something. I thought maybe he stepped on a landmine or got shot or something. And then, see, in 1981, my mom died of cancer. And then, shortly after that, he'd just stop by once in a while, and he would say, hey. But not a, it was like a hey, like a hey, where have you been, type of, like a questioning hey.
He would talk out loud?
Yeah.
I mean, and you could hear him, you know, it wasn't like, you know, telepathic, I guess would be the word. He would just talk out loud like a normal person.
Yeah, but he'd do that, yeah.
Wow.
And,
that's pretty unusual for a ghost to do that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And, just every once in a while I'd get that. Then I got to think one time, maybe since my mom died, we weren't going to the cemetery anymore. Maybe he's just wondering why we never go over there anymore, something, so. So one time I was in, bed, I heard that hey again. And I started telling him, you know, about what happened and everything. Mom got sick and, you know, she died and everything. And then I could feel, I couldn't, it was still dark, I didn't turn on the light or anything. I could feel somebody sitting on the bed. And then I could hear some real low, kind of a weeping, like a man crying. And then nothing. Then for quite a while, maybe about, I guess around a year, before he, you know, came by again. And I thought, but once in a while, he still stops by once in a while. So I thought he found when I moved, found where I moved to. And because here once in a while, and even seeing one time looking at my computer. So.
That's right. Yeah, your friend Ann, right. Wow. So he's still coming around then every now and then? When was the last time?
Let's see. It's far quite well back. I think it was last spring, I think it was. Well, it's been a while.
Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah.
And did he, what else, I mean, what, he talked to you a couple of times? What did he say? Other than...
Oh, one thing, too, that I kind of learned where he was from MASH unit, because when the TV show MASH started, I'd like to watch that. And sometime he would show up during that.
Oh, wow.
And he pointed once and said I was there. So I think what he meant, he was in a MASH unit. Not on that TV show one, but maybe he was where
right.
They took him to.
Right.
Was one of those.
Wow.
Yeah. And see, whenever I was watching that show, he would, once in a while, he would, you know, just, he would just be there and said I was there. And...
How long would he stay? I mean, would he just stay for a couple of minutes and or longer?
Yeah,
or?
Not very long. He just seemed like he was there, then he was gone. He didn't stay very long or anything.
Wow. That's a really interesting story. I mean, that you saw him so clearly. He was in full color. I mean, you could see the color of his uniform and everything.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was kind of that. I think they call it camouflage, kind of green splotches and stuff.
Right.
But he had the red on him. I don't know if he was killed with the blood on him. And just a young guy, dark hair and brown eyes.
Did he ever say
always
his
looking
name?
Real sad.
Oh.
But I do know he's killed.
Did he ever say his name?
He didn't to me. Like I said, I always just called him my soldier. At one time, he came to Ann. And she said that he said his name was Brian. Brian Dace. She was going to look it up, but she don't have any idea how to spell the Dace. There's so many ways you can spell it. Anyways, and said he... seemed to know her dad was a paratrooper and in the Korean War. And he was telling her 5,000 feet.
Hmm.
And we both kind of think maybe he was coming down in the parachute and they shot him. Maybe that's the reason it's on his chest or something, because he was coming. Maybe he was going to land the parachute and it got him. Something. But he's right. At 5,000 feet. He seemed to know her dad. And his name is Brian Days.
Wow.
So.
Very interesting. Well, everyone, you're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and tonight our guest is Sue Hutzel, and she's talking about her many unusual experiences with ETs as well as ghosts and other things. And I want to remind you all, this is a call-in show. We'd love to hear from you. We always love callers. If you have a question or a comment or you want to share your own story that might relate to what we're talking about, we'd love to hear from you. So I'll give you the toll-free number right now. It's 888-228-4494. I'll repeat that one more time. Grab your pencil. It's 888-228-4494. Okay, now back to our show. Sue, there's something you wrote in your email to me just recently about angel hair. I haven't heard you talk about that yet. What, you had an experience with that?
Yep. It was back when I was on the farm. I called it horse hair because that's what it kind of looked like to me. Kind of like white horse hair. And then, you know, I grew up on a horse farm. I'm a horse crazy kid. But, and I see this stuff coming. Then it would fall on the bushes and the trees and stuff. And I was always picking it off. Like sometimes it'd be like on a grasshopper or something. I'd get the bug up and get all that stuff off of it. I was always trying to save animals. Anything that you might get tangled in that wouldn't be able to eat or anything. So always getting that stuff off. And then when I heard about the angel hair stuff later, decades later, then I thought, well, that might be what I was calling the horse hair. Because it seemed to come out of the sky. And then it would land, but it wouldn't stay very long. As soon as I tried to pick the stuff off of them, it just seemed kind of like it disintegrated as I was doing it.
That's exactly what angel hair does.
Mm-hmm.
Were there any UFOs overhead that you saw during any of these incidents?
I didn't think to look around for any.
Right. Interesting.
Because I just seen them kind of at eye level and stuff. I didn't really look up to, didn't even think to.
Huh. And how many times would you say that happened?
I guess about 4 or 5 times. I don't know exactly.
Huh.
But I didn't know that was just at the farm.
Well, that's interesting. And what color was it?
Kind of white. It all looked white. And some of it seemed to move. I don't know, I guess it's not really alive or anything, but some of it just seemed to move by itself sometime.
Oh, you know, I've heard that before. You know what that is?
Mm-hmm.
I think the researchers think that it's got a static electric charge, so that it kind of wiggles around a little bit because of the electricity.
Yeah, yeah, I'm thinking something.
That's interesting you say that. Wow. So, and how much of it was there when it would come down?
Let's see. Usually it would cover like a bush and a lot of the grass around it. Something exactly.
Out of curiosity, do you know if you lived near an Air Force base or any military installations? Like Wright-Patterson?
Let's see. I think all of them are pretty far from here. And from there, Mainville.
Right. So you were in a pretty rural area then, not a lot of cities around there?
Yeah, this is just out, way out in the country. So.
Interesting. Well, and there was another thing that I wanted to ask you about is the markings, yellow markings on the ground, I guess?
Yeah, sometimes when Misty, my dog would bark. Sometimes I just kind of look out. A little bit of seeing things out there. And about 3 times, I think, it was all together. When I'd look out, I'd see them like these yellow marking things. But I didn't go out to them. I fall easy and everything, especially in the dark. So I know I stayed in. But I thought, well, I'll get the camera so I can take pictures of them. But by the time I get the camera there, it was gone. Kind of like they just disintegrated or something.
Was this that name?
But I've heard sometimes UFOs leave kind of stuff like that. I've been thinking of that a lot.
Well, what did it look like, and were they... Was it lights, or... What do you mean? Was it... What
it was kind of, just look like these, like, long, yellow, like a stripe-like thing.
Huh.
And they would kind of... I guess they'd kind of shine or something, or... Because they're real easy to see in the dark.
Yeah. Right. So they were kind of like glowing, maybe?
Yeah, that's what I mean, yeah. But they're easy to see in the dark.
Wow. And
it was only those few times. And that was more recent, I think, about... I think it was just past summer. That's the first time I've ever seen it like that.
And it's right on the ground? Right on the ground itself?
Yeah. You know, they're on the lawn.
And how big are they?
Let's see. I didn't go out to them. They looked like maybe about as... maybe about 3 or 4 feet or something, I guess.
Huh. And what shape? What was the shape of these markings?
Yeah, they're kind of an oblong, square-looking kind of... From what I could see, they're kind of long and thin, kind of... From what distance I was, they look kind of thin, but...
Weird.
I haven't really seen them close up.
Could have
been even bigger, you know.
Can't say I've heard anything quite like that. What do you think it was? Do you have any theories?
Well, Ann said it sounds like what people find after UFO lands and everything.
Right.
Like them. I thought, you know, I heard about that too. Sometimes they leave stuff, but before you can analyze them or anything, they're gone. They just kind of disappear.
Interesting. Wow. Now, did you have any other encounters with ghosts besides your soldier guy?
Let's see. Yeah. Two times it was... Okay, now this past summer, this one thing I had listed too was went to the church picnic with Ann. I was sitting there and I'm eating and talking and everything, and something kind of bumped me, like somebody bumped into me. And said, kind of laugh, kind of embarrassed laugh, said, sorry. And then I looked around to say, oh, that's okay. It wasn't anybody.
Huh.
So that was on me, a ghost or what, or maybe what, but somebody bumped into me, said, oh, sorry. Kind of an embarrassed sound, way of saying it, kind of woman's voice. But I looked around real quick to say, oh, that's okay. Nobody there.
That
and there wasn't
bizarre.
Anybody. No people put. And see. And when some things I've noticed, and Ann said there might be kind of a vortex thing or something, right between kind of a little bit of the road here, like right in front of my where I live and everything. One time, we went to the grocery and she let me off, and then I took my dog out. And as I was taking her in, she barked, and I heard kind of like, sounded like skateboard wheels on the road going real slow. And I looked around, and there was this kid, looked like maybe about 8 or 9 years old, on a skateboard, kind of sideways, looking at me with his hands folded. Oops. And he's going real slow, just kind of looking at me.
Right.
Then I... let Misty back in the house and everything, and I was going to go see where he went. There's nowhere. I went and I walked up and down the road, sidewalk, and stuff to see. Nothing. He couldn't have got away that fast or anything. I just didn't really need that long or anything, so. And then, about a week later, I was walking Misty, and I heard kind of a growl. And... Now, Misty barked a little bit, but, and I just kept walking, and I could kind of, I can always kind of feel somebody's around me, like there's something, just get this feeling or something is. But I thought, well, it's kind of a growl, and it's not, you know, a person following me or anything.
Right.
And then we stopped, and I felt like breathing, like something, like a hot breath on me, kind of my head and my neck and stuff. Then this loud roar, kind of like a tiger or lion's roar, kind of. And then Misty kind of jumped. But I looked around. I didn't see anything. So I don't know, maybe, because Ann said it might be kind of maybe a vortex-like thing, and something's up there, then gone, something like that, just real quick.
Weird.
So that's like some kind of an animal. I don't know if it was trying to see if it could scare me or something, and when it didn't, it just laughed a lot.
You think it was a Bigfoot?
Yeah, maybe, I don't know. As I could tell, whatever it was taller than me. Because the breath was kind of landing on my head, and like my back of my neck and everything, kind of like it's taller than me, whatever it was. Then it gave out the kind of a snarly roar, and then...
But you couldn't see it because it was too dark, or...?
No, it was a light out. It was a nice sunny summer day.
But it was just
like a skateboard thing. It was just kind of like it was kind of like a door opening and closed or something.
Huh.
As Ann was thinking, maybe it was some kind of a thing just to... Or maybe I'm seeing like from... I don't know what it was.
It sounds like a vortex or something like Anne's saying, because, I mean, there's so much unusual stuff going on.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Like she said, where they used to live, there's so many things like that happening. Okay.
Now, another thing I wanted to ask you about, because it's such an unusual experience, and I've only talked to a few people personally, I've read books about it, is your werewolf sighting, or what appears to be a werewolf sighting.
Oh, yeah. And when I was in California visiting back then some friends I had there, and he's going along, and we stopped at it was kind of woods there, so we stopped in the light, and I looked around, and I saw this thing looking back at me. It just kind of looked like, I said, looked like a wolf, standing on its back legs. And it kind of looked at me a little bit. But I didn't tell anybody because I figured out they might see it and have a wreck or something in a car like that. So it looked for a while. And then it kind of crouched down, kind of below kind of a tree that had fallen. It just kind of looked a little bit. Then it stood back up and walked back into the woods. And that just happened in a few minutes. And it went back in the woods. But it was there long enough to get a good...
How far away was it from you?
Let's see, from the road to that. I don't know exactly. But it was, because the woods kind of came out just about to the road. So,
I mean, was it really close, like 10 feet away or 100 feet away? Or?
Yeah, pretty far. I don't know exactly how far that was. More than 10 feet, maybe about 20 or 30, I'm not sure.
Pretty close then. I mean, close enough to see some detail on it.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, and how tall was it?
It looked like it probably about 6 feet or 7 feet or something, because it looked like it'd be about that tall.
And was it looking right at you?
Yeah. Kind of like we just made eye contact with it, just looked at me. It did look just like a wolf. It was kind of a brownish-gray. He had an eye color and everything like a wolf. First, I thought it was a wolf until it stood up on its hind legs like that and walked over. It was kind of like it was crouching, and then got up and walked over to that fallen tree, crouched down again, like it was just wanting to get a better look at me, I guess, at the car, whatever.
Right.
And then after a little bit, got back up and walked back in the woods. It had a tail and everything. That's one thing usually werewolves don't have, is their tail. But it had a long tail like a wolf.
This was at nighttime?
No. This is day two.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Wow. And could you see its arms and its hands and stuff like that?
Yeah. Its arms and legs look more like humanish, but they were covered with the hair. Because when he crouched down and stuff, he put his hands on the log and everything. in my personal room. When he got back up, he kind of held on and got up. So, which I tell him, he had hands instead of paws.
And this area where you saw it, it was a wilderness area? Or where were you?
It was in, there's a part of California called Yucaipa. It's kind of out in a deserty-like area, but there's some kind of woods and stuff. And there's kind of a forest of woods where there's a bunch of trees and stuff.
Right.
And,
Now, that didn't scare you?
No idea.
That didn't scare you at all?
No. It fascinated me. I went, mentioned it to the people I was with, and I thought, well, maybe they get scared and they have a wreck or something, so I better not. So,
And it had a face like, with a snout and everything?
Yep. But that didn't really look like the usual werewolf looking. It didn't look like a wolf, except it stood on its hind legs. And it had hands, and I couldn't really see the feet, but I know it had hands instead of paws. Because it'd hold on to things.
Wow. And a tail, too. Wow, that's very, very interesting.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like a Bigfoot.
Yeah, the Bigfoot, it was... I was in California again. And, see, two times I got to go to California because the people I used to write to there, they... something about their job or something, and they earned a trip to California, to Los Angeles, and they lived in Los Angeles. So they had no use for it, so they gave it to me. So I could come there and go a round trip. But this was the second time when I saw that. It was, it was morning, but it wasn't real light yet. The sun was just starting to rise and everything. And I was just getting up and everything. And then I seen out the window, I seen this face. But it looked like a Bigfoot type of face, but it was kind of a white, looked kind of white or blondish color, real light color, looked like. I was just looking, and it left, too. But I just took a look in the window, and I got up real quick and looked out, and it was... I could see it going. It was leaving.
How tall do you think it was?
That one, I think, let's see. Probably around 6 or 7 feet or so, I think. It looked like the size of the head, I figured he must have been crouching down to be able to see in the window good, kind of. The face filled the whole window, so it was pretty big.
And what did the face look like?
The usual Bigfoot-looking face. With the shaggy hair and everything.
It couldn't have been a bear. You're sure of that?
Yeah. It didn't have a snout like a bear. It had kind of a human-ish type face. And also when I looked out, I see it walking away. Like a human-like walk.
And that was it, huh? Just kind of came in and looked in the window.
Yeah. The color it was and everything.
Well, Sue, have you ever wondered why you have so many unusual experiences?
No. I never really thought about it. It's always happened.
I wonder...
There's one more thing. Like last summer, too.
Right.
Like Ann and I, sometimes we like to watch those real-life things about forensics and all that kind of stuff. And nothing about the people die, but it's like to see all they can do to find the people that do it.
Right.
And I was watching one of those once. And I saw this little thing. It looked kind of like kind of the outline of a little kid. But it looked kind of swirl like a little cloud, kind of a greenish-yellow. Like a cloud, but it was solid. And it was kind of shaped like the head and the torso of him, like a little kid. And it said, Brandon. And I don't know if that's his name or something, or maybe he's seen the show and maybe something. I don't know if he might have been a ghost or somebody that these guys killed or what. but they didn't mention anything about Brandon on the show, and it wasn't on the TV, because they, at the time, they weren't even talking. They were just kind of doing the reenactment thing.
Right. Wow.
And I stayed there for a little bit, and then I said, oh, hi. And then he just kind of disappeared. Kind of like, no, he's seen that I've seen, so he took off or something. But that was one kind of a little, something I'd never seen before either. Because something like that was just kind of like a, like I said, the shape of the head and shoulders and everything when a little kid. But it looked more like a cloud, kind of a solid thing. Kind of a greenish yellowish color.
Well, it sounds like a ghost, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about, you know, kind of a ghost thing in this. But instead of appearing as it was, like Brian did and everything, he just kind of stayed in this kind of a shape where he couldn't see any details of the face or anything.
Right.
I thought, you know, just said, Brandon. So I don't know if he's trying to tell me something about that show or what.
Huh.
I thought, because the thing was about a killer that was going around killing little boys and everything, so... So, well, maybe that might have been the ghost of one of his victims or something. I don't know.
Oh, well, that sounds like it then, yes. I mean, it was a little boy you saw. Wow.
Yeah.
I wonder. Interesting.
Yeah.
Let me see. What haven't we talked about? Have you had, like, psychic experiences as well? Dreams that come true or anything like that?
Bad things of... I think about, sometimes I just get these real strong feelings about something. It's going to happen. It does. One that probably everybody knows about, it's a Challenger.
The space shuttle.
Yeah, space shuttle. Because I just had this in my head, I could hear people screaming and screaming for help and everything. And then this big explosion. And it seemed like I could see it going up and it exploded. Kind of like I could hear the people crying out for help. There was nobody could help them there, but it's like they were just screaming out. And then that morning I always like to watch anything about the shuttle or anything like that, walking on the moon and all that. So that morning when I watched it, sure enough, it went up there and exploded. So.
Wow.
A lot of things are going to happen like that.
Maybe
my mom
that's
used
why,
to be there.
No, that's a pattern I've noticed. I think that might be one reason why you have so many unusual experiences, because you're psychic. You have kind of a higher awareness than a lot of people do.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, it's just a theory.
Yeah, that's what Ann said. Probably I just got more. I'm able to see more of these things because of that.
Yeah. Maybe it's just the area you live in.
Mm-hmm.
For some of it, at least, I mean.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it hasn't been as much since I moved here. Doesn't seem like it's been as often. You know, there's things happening, not quite as often as when I was on the... Well, when I lived in Mainville.
Right.
But let's see.
So any other ghostly type encounters? Like,
oh, yeah, my animals. But kind of passed. Was in 1979. My spotted poodle, she died. And she was the kind of a dog, most dogs do. They know when something's bothering you really bad. Or you're sick, or you're sad, or angry, or something. But she would always just could get in my lap or something. And look up at me, kind of like she's trying her best to make me feel better. So when she died, I was really upset about that. Maybe a few weeks or so later, I got in a pup. But then she had this way of whenever something I'd be upset about something. She had kind of a little whine and a woof, she only used that sound when I was upset about something, or if I was sick or something. So after she died, once in a while, I would hear that. And my mom and I would both, we would see her. We'd just see her go by. just walking through real quick. She kind of likes you, just appear, then disappear. And then, after I got my next dog, little Coco, little puppy, then she stopped by again. She gave that little whiny bark, whiny, kind of a wolf sound. And then I didn't see her anymore. So I thought maybe she was checking up on me. And then she's saying, well, I had the other dog now, I'll be okay. And then she's left. And I didn't see her anymore after that. But then the other dog, the other poodle I had, she died. My mom and I both seen her at her, too. And also, kind of, when we come home from the grocery a couple times, and my mom would always pull out the chairs to sit the grocery bag down. At that time, they were putting paper bags. And a couple of times, when she pulled out the thing, we would hear her growl and jump on the floor. Two times. But that time, I did have a witness for that. But because she liked to sleep on the kitchen chairs. Pushed up to the table, but she jumped on just the chair and sleep. And whenever you pull out one, she'd grumble a little bit and jump off. So at least a couple times we'd heard that. Both of them put the groceries on there.
Did your mom, did she ever have any experiences with UFOs?
Oh, yeah. Now that, like back on the farm, everything back on the farm. My brother Skip had like a telescope, and sometimes we'd go out there on the summer nights when we wouldn't get dark until real light and everything, and we kind of look at the stars, try to see if we could find any planets and all that. And a few times, there was just looked like a little red, kind of a reddish orange. Kind of like the sun is when it sets sometimes, real reddish orange. But it was in the south. It wouldn't be setting in the south. And it wouldn't be setting at 9 o'clock at night.
Right.
So, and then when he'd get the telescope, he'd go in real quick and get the telescope. And he'd tell Mom to come out and see this. You'd all see it. But as soon as he started to put his telescope on it, it'd go straight up and across. It was gone. Kind of like it knew that he's going to try to see it better, whoever was in it or whatever. So, like, he didn't want us to get a better look at it.
Right.
So every time he got the telescope out, he'd go and he'd take off.
Wow.
And,
well, you know what, Sue? I think our hour is actually up. I could talk to you forever.
Oh, yeah, I got so much time.
You really do have some amazing stories, and just so interesting.
Yeah.
But
thank
you. We've run out of time, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But I do want to thank you again for being on the show again.
Yeah, thank you, too. You're welcome. Thank you, too, for having me. I thought maybe I'd do better this time because I know more how I was supposed to do.
Oh, you did
the
great.
The other time I was kind of nervous because I really don't know what.
No, very, very, very interesting stuff. Wow. So, yeah, it's just quite a story you have, and I just want to thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. Well, I guess we have to end the show now. As much as I'd like to keep going on. But all right. Well, everyone, that is our show for tonight. You've been listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and our guest tonight has been Sue Hutzel. We've been talking about her amazing experiences with ETs, ghosts, UFOs, werewolves, Bigfoot, you name it. She's probably experienced it. And just an amazing story. So I want to thank you all for listening, and I hope you've enjoyed the show as much as I have. Next week is actually, I believe, Christmas. So I will be bringing on a guest in January, and I hope you can all join us. It should be very exciting. Until then, have a wonderful holiday and a great week. Bye now.